Good evening. Yay, cool. Great. Good evening. Welcome, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Beth. I first came here as a student, as an undergraduate. I was here for 4 years. I went away for a year, and then Aberystwyth just drew me back. As it has a way of doing, I'm sure people are familiar with. I'm so glad. I really love it here. I love our church. I love our town. I love that the sea is right out there. Me and my dad were just earlier outside watching the starlings, and it is just, it's indescribable, isn't it? We live in a really beautiful town and in a really beautiful world. And it's this beautiful world that we're going to be thinking about tonight. I was going to do a rubbish joke here, but I feel like Andrew's stolen them all from me, so I'll just have to throw that one away. Hey, I'd written pause for laughter, so at least I still got that. Tonight we're going to be talking about rubbish, particularly plastic rubbish, and the impact that that's having on the world around us. Thank you. So as you'll probably know all too well, plastic is everywhere. It's all around us. It's right here in church today. It's in the media. It's on our beaches. It's in our shopping trolleys. And it just seems like we can't get away from it. Is this something as Christians we should care about? And that's what we're going to be considering this evening. To start with a fact. Did you know that in the UK, every 30 seconds, we throw away 2 double-decker buses full of plastic rubbish? Which is mad, isn't it? So, yeah, tonight we'll be thinking about, does that matter? But before we begin, I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all safely here tonight. Thank you that we have the freedom to meet as Christians. Please speak to us tonight, Lord. Please help us think about this plastic problem and how we should think about it as your children. Amen. Cool. So I thought to begin with, I would start with a story of Diane. So this is Diane on the screen. She lives in Brazil. She lives with her sister, her husband, and their children. And she often sees plastic waste, such as fizzy drink bottles, in the river near her house. And these piles of plastic waste that we see all around us, they can bring really difficult problems for people who live near them, who are forced to live near them, who might not have their plastic collected like we do. So piles of plastic waste, they attract mosquitoes, and these mosquitoes can carry diseases. They can block waterways, and that can bring flooding, and that can also bring diseases such as cholera. So it can bring sickness, and Diane talks about this. She says, "When it floods, everyone gets diarrhea and sickness. Just this week, I had to help my daughter who was vomiting. Another problem is the rats. There are lots of rats. I get very down, but there's nothing I can do about it because I don't have anywhere else to go." So there's a picture of such rubbish outside Diane's house. Did you know that 2 billion people in the world's poorest communities are living and working among piles of waste because they don't have their waste collected for them? So no Tuesday morning pickup for them. And they don't really have any other choice but to throw it in rivers or to burn it or to just live amongst it. And this can mean that they're breathing in toxic air if they burn it, or they can suffer sickness from flooding and amongst many other things like sickness. So you might have been wondering why there was people at the start, why they were standing up and then kind of randomly sitting back down. If you're new or visiting St. Mike's tonight, this doesn't usually happen. But what they're doing is mirroring a piece of research that Tiffin conducted recently. And that showed that in every 1 year, up to 1 million people can die because of plastic pollution and the consequences that it causes. So whether that's sickness or breathing in toxic air. That's one person every 30 seconds. So why should we care? Sorry, this is just some pictures of plastic pollution. So why should we care about this plastic problem? Because it's a justice issue. Recently, a group of us, you've heard about us as Just Church, we've been meeting up at St. Mike's, and we've been going through a book called Live Justly. And through this book, we've seen kind of countless examples of God's heart for justice. And we've kind of seen that the truth about justice is that there's something wrong with this world that needs to be put right. And we can see this so clearly when we hear, you know, stories like Diane, stories of people suffering because of environmental harm. And environmental harm is often felt worse by those who are already living in poverty, for those who are facing hardships, because they're less able to adapt to the things that might come because of this environmental harm. So that could be unpredictable weather, from making it difficult to grow crops, or it could be struggling to adapt to the problems of plastic pollution like Diane. So caring for creation is a way we can care for our neighbours, care for others around the world. And Jesus displayed a life of sacrificial service. He called us to love our neighbours. So this includes people who are sat around you tonight, but this also includes people on the other side of the world, like Diane. The editor of the Live Justly book that we've been going through as Just Church, his name is Jason Folletta, and he says, doing justice is more than just an action a year. It's a lifestyle issue. And I guess Jesus didn't really give sermons on justice, but he lived justly. And we can see this. We can see how he lived justly in the way that he loved and welcomed the marginalized, the poor, the leper, the widows, the outcasts. We can see this as well in how he approached and challenged systems of power and oppression that were there in his time. I think a lot of people like the idea of justice until there's some kind of cost. But often justice isn't convenient, and it will involve some kind of sacrifice or changes to the way that we think or act. So for instance, it might take more effort and time to have metal cutlery to maybe carry that around in your bag instead of relying on plastic forks or things like this that you might get from a takeaway. But when you think about how long this plastic fork could be in the environment for, probably about 400 years, and where it could end up, maybe blocking waterways outside Diane's house, or maybe in the belly of some kind of marine animal, suddenly the kind of sacrifice doesn't seem so much when you think about it in that light. And especially as well when we consider it an action to love our neighbours, as Jesus called us to do. So I've just got a bit of, I don't know if that's a bit small, sorry. But there's some information here on the screen of some kind of like everyday items that we have around us and how long these take to like decompose in the environment, how long till they're completely gone. And I think I was quite shocked when I read some of them, and perhaps you will be too. So we're just going to think what the Bible says about this now. So in Romans, in verse 20, we read that creation is subjected to frustration, that it's in bondage to decay. And later in verse 22, it talks about creation groaning. And it says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. So here in these verses, we see that nature is to some degree fallen. And yeah, we can see this so clearly when we see the natural world littered with plastics, amongst many other environmental problems I'm sure people will be all too far familiar with. So creation then, it's impacted by the fall, and it's waiting, just as we are, for redemption. Judith mentioned this a bit in her interview. It's longing to be freed from this bondage and decay that sin has subjected it to. But as Christians, we know that sin isn't God's will. God's will isn't imperfection, So we can fight against it by caring for this damaged and groaning world that's been impacted by our sin. Plastic isn't just having a negative impact on people around the world, but on the planet itself. Should this be of concern to us as Christians? Should the non-human world matter to us? So imagine with me for a minute that all the effects of climate change and environmental harm weren't going to damage humankind. So imagine that people like Diane weren't going to be harmed because of the mountains of plastic pollution that are around her. Would we still need to care about that? Well, I believe that there is a strong biblical evidence that the earth has value outside of its usefulness to humankind, which means that we should care for it. So I think one of the most helpful passages when we think about this is the flood account, which Rod read to us tonight. And it kind of shows God's concern for the non-human world. So throughout this story, we can see that there's kind of great emphasis laid on preserving life. So God wants all creatures to be saved. He wants the animals that are clean and unclean. So these unclean animals, they wouldn't have been considered useful to people at the time, but God cared for them and wanted them to be saved anyway. And then when we get to Genesis 9, the end of the flood account, we read that God comes to Noah and he makes a covenant with him. But he doesn't stop there. The covenant is with Noah, mankind, and every living creature. And this is said 7 times throughout the Genesis 9 that we read. And then in verse 19, God says the covenant is between him and the earth. In the Bible, a covenant relationship is often entered into when something needs saving. So why is it that creation needs saving? Has it been sinful? No. But what it needs saving from is humanity's sin. So in this covenant, God is saying, I am committed to the earth. Human sin is going to damage it, but God is committed to saving it. And I think it's in this redemption of creation that we can find hope. I think the effects of climate change and plastic pollution, they can seem really, really bleak. Judith mentioned this as well. It can just seem like all hope is lost. You know, our world's heading to destruction. There's nothing we can do about it. But I believe that as Christians, in this hopelessness, we can find hope. And it's in the fact that creation is included in God's saving plan. And we see this in Colossians 1, which Dave read to us this evening. And we can see this hope of a restored creation. If you look, turn back with me in this passage, we can see that all of creation, not just humankind, is here for Jesus. And all of creation, not just humankind, is sustained by Jesus. In verse 20, we see that Jesus' death has made a way for all things, all of creation, everything on earth and in heaven, to be reconciled with God. And this is what Paul says is the gospel, the redemption of the whole earth, not just our own personal salvation. And I think this last phrase is vitally important. I think as Christians, we need to lift up our eyes and see the scope of what Jesus has done on the cross. I think, yes. So Paul talks about the reconciliation of all creation. But as Christians, sometimes we start the other way round. Sometimes we start with Christ died to save me from my sins, which is wonderfully true. And then we might go on to the church, and then we might then extend to creation. But actually, Paul kind of starts the other way around. So if you look with me at verses 15 to 17, he starts by declaring Christ's lordship over all of creation. Then he moves to the church in verse 18, with which he is the head. And then in verse 19, he returns to the redemption of all creation. And then finally, in verse 20, he speaks about individual believers who have responded to the gospel. So we also will share in this redemption. Then he says, this is the gospel. So the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection is bigger than us and our personal salvations. Amazingly, it includes that, but it also includes creation. And this is where we can find hope. So if you're a weary environmentalist here this evening, do take hope, because God infinitely cares about his creation and he will redeem it alongside us, his children. So does this hope of a restoration, does it mean that we don't need to care for the environment? If this world is going to be redeemed, why should I spend my time trying to care for creation? Well, such ideas kind of don't line up with other things we read in the Bible, like the stewardship commission we've seen in Genesis and the command that Jesus told us to love our neighbours that we heard about earlier. So just like we know that sickness and suffering will end when Jesus returns, does not mean that we stop looking for cures for diseases. Likewise, we should not stop looking for ways to care for creation. So around one third of the world's population are Christians. Is Christian teaching going to get in the way, or could it be a resource for creation care? As I said earlier, I believe the Bible teaches we have an obligation to care for this world, and we can see that in what we see in Genesis. We read of commands there to steward creation. Genesis 1:28, for instance, says, "Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." So our role is to rule over creation as Jesus ruled over his people, as a ruler who serves. He is king over creation, and we are the stewards. I recently rewatched Lord of the Rings. Has anyone seen Lord of the Rings? Perfect, I might need your help. Yes, I'll go on to the next slide. So this person on, what is it, my left, your right? I get confused, I don't know. The person in white, his name is Gandalf. Does anyone know the name of the other guy? Denethor. What? Denethor, great, cool. Okay, thank you. I knew someone would know. I was like, it'll be fine. Don't need to Google it, someone will know. So this, at one point during this film, this wizard man, Gandalf, he goes to Denethor. He's steward over a town called Gondor. So he's not the king, he's the steward. He's ruling over this town, waiting for the return of the true and rightful king of this town. And then Gandalf goes to him and says that this true and rightful king has returned. But Denethor, he hates this. He wants to hold on to power. He wants to rule over Gondor in his own way. And he doesn't want to admit that the new king has arrived. So he doesn't do a very good job as a steward, basically. He's a bad steward. And Gandalf reminds him that actually his job is to care for this town in lieu of the king before the king returns. And likewise, that's what our job as a steward is to do. We don't, you know, the earth doesn't belong to us, but we've been put in place to steward creation. Not like he did, though, in Lord of the Rings. I think another helpful illustration is we could think of it as if we're curators in a museum. So God is the artist and the world is his gallery. So as curators, we don't make the art, we don't own it, but we have a really important job to make the artwork reflect the beauty of the artist, to move it around, to bring it into shape, to help visitors enjoy it, and to make sure that it isn't ruined by, you know, sticky fingers and all this kind of stuff. So as stewards or creators, we need to care for creation before the king returns. So if all this that I've been saying tonight is true, we all know, yes. So what should we do now? We all know the gospel is something that we believe in, but it's also something that we respond to. It's also something that we act on. So how should we respond to this gospel that includes creation? Well, one thing that we can do is use our voices to speak out against environmental harm and speak up for those who are suffering the consequences of environmental harm, like Diane, who we heard about earlier. So on your seat, or I think maybe in the ledge in front of you, you'll find a campaign card. And in a few minutes when I finish, we're going to have a time of prayer that Larry's going to lead us into. And I'd love if you could fill in this campaign card and add your voice to this global movement that Tiffin are doing. People all around the UK are filling in these cards, and Tiffin are going to use them to pressure companies to stop being rubbish and take responsibility for this plastic waste that they're creating. So I'm not sure if you knew, but companies like Coca-Cola, Nestle, PepsiCo, and Unilever, they sell billions of products in single-use plastic packaging in poorer countries. So that's packaging that just gets used once and then is thrown away. And they sell it in these countries, knowing full well that these people don't have adequate waste collection facilities like we do. So they know that these people have no choice but to live amongst it, burn it, or throw it into waterways. So we're going to call upon these people tonight to stop being rubbish. And I think we have, as we can see, this verse on the screen, Proverbs 31, it tells us to speak for people who can't speak for themselves and ensure justice for those who are being crushed. So please do use that time to fill in your voice, and together with all other Christians around the country, we can put pressure on these companies. The children actually completed theirs this morning, some of the youth did. They wrote a message in a Coca-Cola bottle, and then we took pictures, and we're going to tweet these companies to try and get them to listen and take responsibility for their waste. On this card, there's also room for you to make your own personal plastic pledge. So not only can we use our voices, but we can also change things in our life to live more justly. I think it can seem super overwhelming when you look at your life and think, how can I live more justly? How can I live more simply? It can seem like there's so much that could be changed, but I just thought I'd encourage you with perhaps a personal testimony tonight. So I think about 7 years ago, I started to kind of think about how I could live more justly, how I could live more lightly. And I looked at my life and it was just overwhelming. It seemed there was so much that could change. But what I did was I just started to ask God, what next? What small next thing could I do to try and live more sustainably? And at the time, it was super frustrating. It felt like everything was taking ages and was really difficult. But now I can kind of look back and I can see how my life has changed to live more sustainably. So first it was thinking about my clothes and where I got those from. Then it was my diet. And then more recently thinking about my plastics. And in all this, I mess up so many times and I definitely don't have it right. Those in my house group are only too quick to remind me of the time that I ate ham sandwich or had some turkey at Thanksgiving dinner. So I'm not advocating here that everyone needs to be a vegetarian, but what I'm trying to say is that we don't need a small amount of people living justly perfectly. We need billions of people doing it imperfectly. So can I encourage you tonight to look at your life and think, what next? What next small change could I be doing? And then in a few years' time, you'll be able to look back and see how your life is reflecting more how Jesus lived justly. So yes, when Larry comes up, please do take time to fill in this card and please do take time to pray. Sometimes it can feel like these global problems are huge, but we do have a much bigger God who is greater than these issues, and he can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. So please use this time now and just just praise God for the change that we need in the world and in our individual lives. Thank you.